Hello again, everyone. My name is Ronnie, and again, from all of us here at the First Colony Church of Christ, we are delighted to have you with us today. Now, next Sunday, June 7, we will actually resume in-person services here at our usual times of 8:30 and 11 a.m. Now, we will continue also with our online services, and for many of you, online is still the way to go. We'll ask you to self-evaluate and any sort of health compromises, you just don't need to be here. And even if right now, because, you know, it's going to be a skeleton schedule in that, you know, services only, no classes, no groups, no children's programming right now. It might be that for you, just the online experience is simply your preferred method right now. And there's nothing wrong with PJ Church and a comfortable setting right there in your living room. But as I said in our welcome, I commend you for engaging in so many, many ways. Go to our website and make sure you check out our guidelines, and we'll ask you to follow those protocols, please. Also, there's a simple survey. If the answer to question one for you is no, you're done. If you say yes, a couple of more questions will pop up, and it'll take you less than 30 seconds to fill out that survey. But the information will be quite helpful to us. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and as we conclude our Time Out series, Time Out, Experiencing God in Life's Disruptions, we'll talk today about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The title of today's message is Welcome, Holy Spirit. You know, Pentecost was a Jewish feast celebrating harvest, but also celebrating the giving of the law. But, you know, Pente, 50 days after Passover, well, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, on that Pentecost, the church began. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is the abiding presence. The Holy Spirit is the invisible, real, abiding presence of God in the lives of every believer. You know, change brings anxiety and/or anticipation, often a little bit of both. Imagine the change and imagine the anxiety of those first followers of Jesus. They had been with him for 3 years, 24/7, and now all of a sudden, they had walked with him, talked with him, they had eaten with him, they'd gone on boat rides together, they were present at his death. They were with him following his resurrection, and now he's about to ascend back to heaven. This is going to be a huge change. And so what does Jesus say to them? Acts chapter 1, beginning verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." He says, I want you to just wait right here. Wait in Jerusalem, because even though I'm about to ascend to my Father, I'm going to be pouring out my Holy Spirit on you, and you are about to experience God in a new way. Verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You'll have a message to share in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them, angels. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." So what do those first disciples do? Jesus has now ascended. They do exactly what the Lord said. They waited right there in Jerusalem with one another. Verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So they're waiting, they're praying, they're expecting this promise. In Acts 2, verse 1, And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, so these apostles, they're speaking in tongues. They're speaking in languages here. I believe this is a little different from the gift of tongues as spoken about in 1 Corinthians. That's a different study. But here they're speaking languages that they had not studied, didn't know, but God is enabling them supernaturally to communicate this message of Jesus to all those who were gathered, because there are people here now in Jerusalem from at least 16 different nations. What's God up to? He's up to something wonderful. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." And amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Somebody says, "Well, how could they tell they were Galileans?" Well, when they were speaking, you know, different language. Well, so I can speak a little French. Parlez-vous français? I can speak a little French, but I don't sound French because I'm not from there. So I might speak a little bit, but I say it with a Tennessee/Texas twang. God is enabling these Galileans, though, to speak languages from various nations. Why? This is not just an individual event. God is pouring out His Spirit, and the Bible will tell us He will pour out His Spirit on both men and women. He will pour out His Spirit on both the older and the younger and everyone in between, and He will pour out His Spirit on every nation under the sun. Why? Because God is building His family, not just of one nation, but of all. That's what God's up to. What does this mean? Here's what it means. Red, yellow, black, white, all nations precious in His sight and welcomed into the family of God. You know, this week has just been such a difficult week. George Floyd, an African-American man, died in police custody in Minnesota. And there's been just near universal condemnation of the actions of that one police officer specifically, and then three others who were watching. Even the police commissioner of Houston said, and I quote, "The death of George Floyd should be condemned by all in law enforcement and our extended community." And so the killing of George Floyd has been front and center this week, and it's brought about a renewed and intensified spotlight about race relations in our nation. And the Bible certainly speaks to race relations and to all who welcome the Holy Spirit and to all who welcome the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Those teachings should, and they do, shape our behaviors in profound ways. Not everyone welcomes the Holy Spirit, and not everyone welcomes the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'll come back to that in just a moment. George Floyd, you may or may not know, was actually a native Houstonian. He attended Yates High School, graduated there in 1993. Their 1992 football team actually played in the state championship game in the Astrodome. And George Floyd was a tight end on that team. He was a member of the Houston Resurrection Church, which is located in the Third Ward, and that's their primary ministry. It says so on their website, and their lead pastor speaks very highly of him. He said that George Floyd moved to Minnesota in 2018 for a job connected with a Christian work program. Let me just say to every person of color in our church, we love you and we care. To every immigrant in our church, we love you and we care. We want to roll out the welcome mat for all, like Pentecost. And we want to roll out the assimilation mat for all. Every race, every nation. Now, as in all things, we will do that imperfectly, but we will try. And we will get better, and we will grow. You know, racism has been a part of the human story for thousands of years. And for any of us, myself included, to deny the possibility of any kind of prejudice or any kind of prejudicial spirit in my heart, to deny that possibility is just to be self-deluded. Racism, partiality, bigotry is real. It must be addressed. And that's the beauty of God's plan for the church, where walls of disharmony can be broken. In Christ, we are one in the Spirit, and we're called to act like it and to embrace it. What does the Bible say? Make every effort, because it will not always come easily. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit, and the bond of peace. And Jesus teaches us to love all, to be gracious to all, to respect all, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Hey, you have heard of the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? The Bible speaks to us about the sin of partiality, and we might be familiar with other terms: prejudice, discrimination, bigotry. Partiality is simply showing favoritism and bias for some people, and showing prejudice and bias against other people. And I really don't think any of us want to live in that kind of culture where that kind of injustice goes unchecked. And the only remedy I know is long term, but it's learning to see people as God does. And that's difficult. We don't always do that naturally. Max Lucado writes, and he's such a fabulous writer and wordsmith and much more eloquent than I am, but I want to read a little bit of something he had written a few years ago when he says, "Judging a person according to skin color is an ancient sin, and for that reason God gave us this ancient solution. God made us to reflect His image. And He still creates people in His image to bear His likeness and reflect His glory. How much sadness would evaporate if every person simply chose to believe this: I was made for God's glory and I am being made into His image. And also, would you let this truth define the way you see other people? Every person you see was created by God to bear His image and deserves to be treated with dignity and respect. What civility that mindset would engender. What kindness it would foster. Racism will not flourish when people believe their neighbor bears God's image. Government programs might help. Lectures might enlighten. But in the end, God's plan is the only plan. See every person on the planet as God's idea." End quote. My appeal to all of my fellow believers: let's not let a few rogue policemen or angry pundits negatively impact God's vision, that we might to all see the image of God there, treat all with respect, and in the church to be the family of God, all of us partakers together of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a homework assignment for you. I'm not done. We need to really listen to one another. And I mean listen to one another in one conversation at a time, one dialogue at a time, one meal at a time, that way, with no audience, nothing to prove, nothing to defend. And I mean really listen to one another. And especially if you're white, listen to people who listen to our immigrant friends and immigrant members here. Listen to the members of color here. Anybody that's different from you, because there are three types of listening. There's listening to win, and we do that most of the time. You know, but there's listening to win, there's listening to fix, where you have this mindset of, I'm the grand wise person, tell me the story, and I can share my expertise. But there's listening to learn. And this is where you say, I'm not going to go, but you just say, tell me what I need to know. Tell me what it's like to walk in your shoes. Tell me how I can care. Tell me how I can help. This kind of listening is more difficult. It's more necessary. As a side note, some of you might need that with your children right now. Some of you might need that with your spouse right now. We all need that with one another right now. Not listening to fix, not listening to win, listening to learn. We can do this. And so God pours out His Spirit. And it's not just an individual thing. Oh my. He's creating a new community. I want to be a part of it. Verse 36. Peter's preaching, and the Holy Spirit is convicting. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Savior. And here's the good news. Some of the people right there in Jerusalem listening to this, Peter says, you had a hand in the death of Jesus. But do you think that that places you outside the boundaries of His grace? Not at all. This invitation is for you as well. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, the Holy Spirit is exalting Jesus as our Savior. You know, Dale Bruner, a theologian, says, the Holy Spirit is the shy one. And he's not the shy member of the Trinity out of timidity. He's shy out of deference. The Holy Spirit is all, it's like if you were to draw a picture of Jesus on a chalkboard, the Holy Spirit is standing behind the chalkboard, reaching around with His fingers, pointing, going, listen to Him. Follow Him. He came for you. His sacrifice redeems you. His resurrection redeems you and grants you eternal life. And I'm here to shine a spotlight on the glory and the wonder of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ for you. And when the people heard this, they were cut to their heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said, you repent and be baptized. Turn your back on your old way. Turn your face to God. Bury your sins in the blood of Christ in the waters of baptism. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, notice, for the forgiveness of sins. Even that sin. Yeah, even that one. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is not just for you. It's for your children, it's for your grandchildren, for those who are close to you, for those in many nations, those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Listen, the Spirit of God unites people, and anytime there's an elitist spirit, that's not holy. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you better than anyone else, but He will make you better than yourself. Verse 40, and with many other words, He warned them and He pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Literally, this generation that has no idea where it's headed. It's aimless. It's older Bible translations will say untoward. It's purposeless. It knows not where it's going. Save yourself from this aimless and corrupt generation. And those who accepted the message You know, that's really what faith is. Faith is accepting the message of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, and 3,000 were baptized that day. How in the world could they baptize 3,000 people? Because if you've ever been to Jerusalem, if you've ever been to the Temple Mount, you know it's surrounded by little ritual baths, mikvahs they're called. They had many ready-made baptistries there. And what do these people continue to do? This new community, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. God forms a new nation of all nations. He forms a new family. He forms a new community. We are one in the Spirit. I hope you'll welcome the Holy Spirit afresh in your life. He's your holy helper. That's what he is. He's your holy unifier. That's who he is to us. And since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is the invisible but real. Just because something is invisible doesn't mean it's not real. It's more real. He's the invisible, living, and abiding presence in the lives of every believer. And as Jesus said in Luke 11, if you then, even though you're evil, even though you're clueless, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, you know, here I am, I'm a mere mortal. I know how to give good gifts to my kids and grandkids. How much more then will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So let's continue to do that. Let's continue to welcome the Holy Spirit. And over, let's ask the Lord to fill me, to fill you, to fill us. And when we're saying, Lord, fill us with the Spirit, that doesn't mean we've not had the Spirit before, we don't have the Spirit now. What we're saying is, have your influence in us. Have unhindered sway in my life and in your life. Again, not everybody welcomes the Holy Spirit. And you can't expect people who don't have the Holy Spirit to behave like they do. Not everybody welcomes the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But you do, and I do. And we need to regularly be saying, Lord, have your way in us. Fill us with your Spirit. One person said one time, why do you keep asking over and over for the filling of the Spirit? And one person said, because I leak. That's why. I leak. You leak. And so we keep coming back afresh saying, Lord, fill me again and again. One person said to her preacher, she said, I feel so filled up. And he said, then here's what I want you to do this week. Since you're so full, I want you to go out and slosh around on people. You just go slosh around on everybody you find. And when you find someone who's discouraged, you slosh on that person. You give some, you build them up. You encourage. You find somebody who's wayward and aimless. You give them direction and hope. You take the fullness of the Spirit. You just go slosh around on people near you. God bless you, everybody. Thank you for being with us today. Continue to welcome the Holy Spirit in your life. He is your holy helper, the invisible, abiding, and very real presence of God in your life and mine. Okay, as we close in prayer, I think you'll be able to pray along with me today. Our Father in heaven, first of all, would you fill us with your Spirit? Would you heal places of brokenness and alienation? And our Father in heaven, holy is your name. May your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Would you give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our sins, even as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, everybody, You can communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you. And you can pray with someone online. It's very, very easy. We'll look forward to seeing you again, Lord willing, next Sunday.